If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is bullcrap, John.
I got connections at Slice of the Berg.
I know you do. So, don't. No, wait. You have connections at a local pizza place. Don't be giving them free publicity.
They brought it here.
We didn't get any.
Well, they didn't know that our coworkers were going to turn against us and ensure that we didn't get a single slice.
Yeah, not even like.
I'm trying to position for a fresh pie for the boys.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
I mean, I'm just. It almost feels like the whole building got together and said, hey, we really wanted to treat you to this pizza. All we ask is that you ensure that Drew and John get none of it.
Almost. It almost feels that way. Corey Cardinal, who did a great job today with Mike Olivero, by the way, before us and Dizzy. Corey Cardinal. Okay, here's what I'll just take even a step before that. Dizzy gets done. He's the only one left in the studio. And there's a pizza box sitting there. And it is reminiscent of the 15 empty pizza boxes in our break room.
There is legitimately a stack of pizza boxes in the break room that's almost touching the ceiling.
Yep. And so I saw that pizza box and I thought, oh, okay.
Here
well,
we go.
We may not have gotten any, like, but my boys, our fam, our bone fam, they're certainly getting.
Yeah.
So I lift like the box for a second. And then Diz like slams a box down.
Oh, like don't look in there.
Like what? Like ain't nothing
like,
for you in there.
Like don't look in there, white devil.
Exactly, nothing in for you there, cracker. So, sorry, cracker. And so he absconds with the box. And then right before we go on the air, Corey Cardinal comes in to make
frantically, like it's as if something was wrong. Like the station was off the air. There was a fire. A small child was missing. Any of those things could have been the scenario based on the stress. And you know, the
sense of urgency.
Sense of urgency. That's exactly
what
I was looking
for. He had the sense of urgency that I want everyone who waits tables to have.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came in.
But he wasn't bringing food.
Not to bring food, but to make sure that we didn't get the crumbs that were left by the show before us. Like, it was a concerted effort. By everyone. I'm not going to call any names. But EJ from The Vibe has four slices of pizza stacked on a plate in his desk.
It was probably the last couple, few, and maybe they were like, hey, let's go ahead and clear these boxes out before John and Drew get here.
Right.
Because I would imagine there's slices hidden and tucked away.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
Dizzy ran away with some. Corey's looking for some.
Yep.
We know other people have them. So I can only imagine that there's other slices and maybe other full pies being hidden in the building to ensure that we didn't get any.
Enjoy, everybody. Enjoy. Sorry. We'll see. Since they did a partnership with you. Sorry, Slice of the Berg.
I love Slice of the Berg.
I love them, too.
They're good friends over there. I bonded with the team over there.
Oh, yeah. It looks like it.
Well, here's the thing. As a pizza entrepreneur, your responsibility to the pizza is gone once you drop it off.
That is true.
You think my friends over there thought they were going to drop it off in the building and all of our coworkers who clearly hate us were going to turn against us and hoard all the pizza for themselves?
No, they're probably under that false impression of we're all a big family over here, and if you drop off 15 pies, we're going to get some.
Here's a fascinating, and you know, sometimes the line of reality and having fun is very fine. Where in the hell are all the people that ate that pizza? Because as far as I can see, there's about six people that even work in this building anymore.
That's a good point.
Where are the human beings who ate the pizza?
I don't know. That's a really good question. No one works in here. No one. Everybody's WFH.
Today, I do see some, you know.
There's some people.
Some hang-arounders. And I'm sure they're doing a great job. I know they're doing a great job.
I mean, it's insane to me that there are four slices of pizza.
Well, here's the thing. What time do we think the pizza got here? Because that has a hand in it. Like, I think if the pizza got here, like, at noon, then I don't necessarily know. You were here early, though.
Here at 12:15.
Oh, you're at 12:15?
Yep.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You should have got some of that pizza then.
You're damn right.
Not cross paths with it?
I was busy in the office doing work. I was talking to Richard about our Miller Lite Coors Light partnership.
Yeah, yeah. Richard was
like hooking me up with Miller Lite swag, Coors Light swag for days. Your Coors Original Banquet beer,
Banquet
like
Brothers.
Talking about the Doobie Brothers giveaway that we've got today, which we've got an amazing amazing Doobie Brothers package to give away at 3 o'clock today. Includes VIP parking, $25 for food, and some great seats to the Doobie Brothers show on Thursday.
I will say, and we're not going to, don't think we're going to forget about what's going on here, but dude,
we're not.
The VIP parking situation at the Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater is one of the greatest delights in concert attendance ever. Like, you can be in and out of there. They have its own little mini road that takes you in and out. You can be in the pit or at your seats and 25 minutes later be home based on the parking. So that VIP parking pass alone is worth the price of admission.
Like, if it were a band I didn't care for, I would go to the show just for that VIP parking space. It's honestly, it's the best VIP parking space you're going to find in the Tampa
really
Bay area.
Undeniable. It really makes for an unimaginable concert experience, because everybody who goes to concerts, you got to deal with parking, not when you go VIP at the amp. But that doesn't change the fact that I bet you JoJo knows. Should I ask her what time the pizza got here?
Yeah, please. She'll be honest.
Should I tell her to come here, actually?
Yeah. We'll put her on, because she'll be honest with us.
I don't know.
Was it an orchestrated food drop? Was it like one of those a client wants to bring by food for the staff?
Here's another possibility.
Who takes four slices of pizza anyway? I'm just saying it.
Here's a possibility. What if it was a meeting that we weren't involved in?
Yeah, I mean, clearly it was a meeting we weren't involved in.
No, but I mean, what if it has nothing to do with us at all? And sometimes they'll just bring some leftovers out. And we just happen to see.
Sure.
What if it was a big sales summit?
Sure. That, and how come someone else has four slices of pizza, and why was there a pizza
stop,
box
you gotta
in the
stop
studio?
Stop harping on that. You're gonna burn bridges with that.
You're right.
We work with these people.
You're right. They take as many as you want. It's a buffet.
No, it's not. I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying let's not single people out.
Freaking Pizza Hut buffet lunch. It's Wendy's Super Bar up in this bitch.
I'm out to JoJo.
All right, JoJo.
Get in here.
Come on, JoJo.
Yeah. She might not even know what. She might not
She's
even
like,
what
pizza? Hey, JoJo, how you doing today? It's good to see you, JoJo.
Happy birthday Eve to you.
Oh, thanks, JoJo. Oh, she's
the
so
last
sweet.
Day you're gonna be. I won't say it.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll keep it
thank
to
you.
Myself.
Appreciate it.
What's going on?
Yeah. What the
here?
Hell? What gives?
What's going on?
Well, so we were just acknowledging the fact that there seems to be in the break room a stack of By the way, I've already got. I think JoJo's got beef with me already. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, he's feeling a certain kind of way about your presence with him this week.
I know. He keeps mentioning it. I don't know why.
And she's not even looking at me when she says that.
There's something up. What did he do?
Nothing. So the pizza.
No.
Whoa. Pump the brakes.
I was joking almost up
me
until
too.
Your response right there.
I don't like what's happening.
What is it? What
it
did I
what?
Do?
What did he do?
What did I do?
You did nothing.
I feel like I couldn't do anything.
You didn't do anything.
Like, did I
Why
not,
are you so paranoid
I,
about
well,
this?
Well, you just have a way about you, and when your way is not your way, all I can do is imagine that something's wrong.
What you're about very, my weight?
Your way. Where? Your oh. ways. Right. You're
I
very...
I said my weight. I have a weight about me.
No.
Which I'm aware of. Thank you.
Even your sweet little daughter is dis... It's almost like you've indoctrinated her to not like me.
She likes me.
No, she loves you.
Or she does love Drew.
She loves me.
I think that's what it is, too.
She's so
Drew's,
sweet.
Drew's... She's crazy.
Well, she bonds with me when you're not here. Like, she comes in and she's like, is your friend not here again today? And I'm like, no. And she goes, are you sad? I go, yeah. And she's like, it's okay.
So,
I'll be your friend.
So, it's funny. It's a funny... I didn't share this on the air. One day I came in and there was a new girl running the front desk, and I was like being friendly with her. I was like, hey, what's your name? And the lady's talking to me, and then JoJo's daughter's there as well, and I'm like, hey, how you been? Like, I'm short talking to her, and she goes, I don't know you.
She's a real joke.
And then here I am in front of this new nice young lady looking like I'm like trying to accost a young child that I don't know.
You had a card, so you.
Needless to say, JoJo's mad at me, and maybe you're catching strays because JoJo's mad at me.
Did I not get any pizza because you're mad at John?
So the stack of pizza boxes in the break room is almost touching the ceiling.
Yep,
and it's just to think that all that pizza got
eaten. So I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody,
but
I would say that your beef.
Or pepperoni or sausage.
I saw there was a lot of meat on that. That looked like a meat lovers that Diz had.
Were all four slices meat lovers that looked like? I'm sorry, I'll let it go.
No. It looked like almost two different pieces in one box. Right. I saw pepperoni and then I...
So I know that digital sales had a meeting today.
What's digital sales?
That was my theory. That's a lot of pizza.
So they were
having
a
team of 80?
No.
Okay.
So they had a meeting today, and I was going to order lunch for their meeting, and then they decided to forego that, and they were going to have a pizza party in the performance theater.
Okay.
Mm. I said, let me know if you need anything, drinks in my office, whatever, whatever.
Slice of the burg, friends of
mine. I wasn't here.
Great friends.
Ev's had dance camp until noon, so I drop her work,
okay.
go pick her up and come here. So I've been a little bit late getting here this week. But Felicia is the one who sent out an email.
We love friend of the show.
I know.
I love
and let
Felicia.
Me just tell you, I was scouring the email to see, and you guys are not on there. I know.
Who all's on it? Let me see the sent list right
There's
now.
There's like so many people. I know.
What's
Corey
going?
And Kevin are on there. I know.
I don't know what's going
God.
On. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
What? Are you going down there?
Yep.
Okay, Joge, help me, please help me stay. Oh my gosh, dude,
yeah.
this is everybody in the building.
Yeah,
this is everybody in the building. Now, Drew, if I can just as you walk down there, please just take a deep breath. Don't get yourself fired. Remember, these are our friends. We love Felicia.
Drew, she was our friend.
Are you there?
Now, I am.
Say,
can you hear me?
I will. Yeah, EJ.
Can you not hear me?
No, I can hear you. I can hear you. You're loud and clear. I'm just studying the. I'm studying the list of people that got invited to the pizza party.
I mean, I will say.
Hey, John.
Yes.
John, real quick. The pizza box that Corey Cardinal took out of the studio is now in the break room.
Oh, okay. So we got a couple extra strays in there.
It's clearly not for us, but I'm gonna find Felicia. I'm sorry. Please continue.
Okay, you just keep on. Now I will. I do have to say, there's nobody really on air on this list.
No, but you should. You usually everybody just sends it to
everyone.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that nobody feels left out.
I think at least questioning Felicia on you know her.
She knows you guys are in the building.
Yeah, her prep process when she was putting together a very specific. Let's get to
yeah,
in the performance.
Yeah, I did steal a piece for
right
Everly
now.
Because it was on the table when I got here. There was a couple pies.
Okay, so your child got pizza.
Oh, I've got Felicia in my sights right now, John.
Okay.
Hi, Felicia.
Be easy on her.
Just a quick. Oh no, it's just a quick word. I'm on the air with John Setting right now. Here, have a seat, won't you? we just love to know what did we do, Felicia, to. To upset you to the point where we were excluded from today's pizza party. Did we offend you? Did we affront you? Did we anger you in some way?
Yeah, I know. I have the perfect answer to that.
Okay, she's going to answer. Hold on.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
All right. I'm putting you on speaker so that we all can be part of this conversation.
Hey, Felicia. I'm sorry to meet you under these circumstances. I mean, see you or hear, talk to you.
Yeah. So I actually sent it to all the department heads in the building. So it's their responsibility to send that out to any of their employees. You can pick it up with your direct manager.
Where's Johnny boy?
That was about as boss of an answer as you could have delivered. I feel like less of a man right now than I did when I woke up this morning. I feel emasculated.
You know, I have the tendency to make men feel like that, which is why I'm single.
Yeah. What the heck, John Brennan? Why didn't we find out about this pizza party?
Is he in his office? I don't think he's in his office.
To be fair, I don't think we have a department head, do we, John?
Like, I think our department head is definitely. Yeah. So it was, and just and if I may offer a follow up line of questioning. So I see, Kevin is on here, not a department head as far as I'm known. So was it the department heads and a couple of your favorites too? Was that how you made the list?
No, because there are certain people in the promotions department that helped me set up the performance studio.
Okay.
So I wanted to offer them for actually helping me.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's like you
Any
scratch
other questions
my back.
That I can follow up with?
Nope. I think the picture's becoming very, very clear here. It was department heads plus anybody else that may or may not have helped you in your life.
Well, with the setup, yes, typically. So, I mean, if you want to help me out, I can come up with a couple of options for you to help me. And then, like you said, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Okay. I'm so tentative right now because I can't tell if she's actually mad or not. But I will say, a couple extra names on there. You know, Drew and I are usually here. Drew's here usually around noon. So, I mean, you can understand. How about this? Can you understand what it's like to walk into a building and see pizza boxes stacked to the sky? See people still eating pizza in their office. Everybody, the buzz of a pizza party is all around you, but you just don't get any pizza. Can you imagine what that makes people feel like, Felicia?
Yeah, well, you know, there are 3 boxes full of pizza in the kitchen. So if you want one, you can grab some.
I don't know if that's – that may not be the case anymore.
John, that's a blatant lie. There was one box of pizza, and it has 3 slices in it. There may have been before an unnamed employee snagged 4 slices for himself, and it's on his desk right now, but I'm not going to call anybody out by names, EJ. Thank you, Felicia. No further questions. We still like you as a friend, just so you know.
Things will be different now, too. And I'm also, there was even an opportunity for her to change course because there was the initial. Not on the call, on the email, because she sent out the initial email, hey, everyone, pizza party, and then followed up when the pizza arrived, if I may, in all caps, pizza's here. I mean, just that kind of pizza party energy going on in a building and not including everybody.
It hurts.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you guys.
Makes one feel less than.
It really does. And I don't want to point fingers at anybody, but between Felicia and JoJo, you guys really dropped the ball today when it comes to taking care of the boys.
I mean...
And that's,
me?
I will say, honestly, this is a prime example that JoJo is mad. Because regular JoJo snags a pie of the 37 boxes and sets one aside and says, I know Drew's going to be here. I know
that's
John
true.
Will be here. And she just would do that. So I think,
first of
based
all,
on whatever I did to her.
You guys, one day you're eating meat only and licking butter. And one day you're doing vegetables. And I don't know when you're eating carbohydrates
I will tell you, that is a good clapback. That's a worthy clapback.
Very worthy.
Yeah. I always offer anything. First of all, not my pizza
except
party.
Pizza.
Didn't think it was a pizza party. Thought it was a pizza meeting, like a lunch meeting. So I didn't know that like everybody was going to be there. And then there were pizzas kitchen when
I
got here at 1 o'clock.
If I may, when did you not know it was a pizza party? Was it before or after the email went out that said, pizza party?
Yeah, that's when I knew. But I wasn't here. How was I going to snag you pizza if I wasn't here?
I should also, in defense of Felicia, not only did she send out the cool the email inviting everybody to the pizza party, it came with a funny meme. Pizza is life, and it's a guy in a pizza onesie on a pizza couch eating pizza. Ha, ha, ha.
When do you think of me when you guys get lunch? Do you ever bring me lunch?
That's
do you ever text me and ask me if I want lunch because
dudes?
I'm here?
If there's a hot
day.
Dude visiting.
I will say, we always try to bring hot dudes by you.
Yeah.
Sean Daly does not count.
We brought you EC3.
Yeah.
I mean, just because, you know, he wasn't your type doesn't mean that, you know.
Ben Ruta.
He's not sitting on a pizza couch, by the way. He has a pizza pillow.
I was trying to paint a picture,
okay? He was painting a pizza picture.
They're pizza pillows.
So it's just, you know, when you're ready to talk about the root cause of the issue, about why you left.
And John,
I guess I'd like to apologize to you. Of all the apologies not being given today, I'll just go ahead and stand up and be the one to deliver one.
That JoJo's beef with you affected
apologize.
My
I don't
pizza?
Know. But the thing is, it's hard to figure out what I could have done.
Yeah.
Because I thought JoJo and I are just kind of always good. So.
Me too. Me too.
I don't know. What was it?
I am so sorry you guys did not get pizza today.
She's really avoiding the question.
I mean,
Next time.
I know it is a fact. I actually even think she told Everly to be mean to me too.
Probably. Like there's Mr. John be mean to
I
him because mommy's
said,
mad at
I
him.
Think said, I think she said today, I'll go ahead. I wasn't even gonna bring this up, but I'll bring it up now. Today, she comes into the office,
runs
over to Drew, gives him a hug.
That's true.
And then leaves.
That
zero
is all,
acknowledgement.
That is
as
all
if
true.
I was a as if I was just a ghost.
Who's the grown up here? Did you say hello, Everly?
Ouch.
Hey Ev.
Here's the thing. I thought that we had a very great, Unky John Everly relationship. I didn't know there was an issue. I think you've weaponized your child against me. That's what I think's happening. So, you know, she's sweet
weaponized.
When told to be.
You weaponized your child.
So, you know, when you're ready to sit down.
I'm good.
You know.
I'm good.
Jesus.
I'm fine.
Wow. I thought Felicia was working stiff at first.
Oh, dude, I didn't. That was that. She was working, right?
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that she had that in her.
She was
She immediately just let off this energy, like she borderline didn't want to be involved in our shenanigans. But
no, she was awesome. She's hilarious.
She's funny.
She's amazing. A great tweet from Lily Cakers. What if the department head is busy or out of the office? Then their whole team just misses out. Seems like there should be a single department-wide email about stuff like this.
The good news is, Lily, there was no problem eating all that pizza. Imagine if all of the department members would have been there. There would have been a bunch of people standing around with not enough pizza to eat.
But here's what I don't understand.
Talk
when
to
she
me.
Says that. There's no specification that department heads, like, that's a... I didn't know that that was like a thing.
Now we got inner office beef.
I know, and I'm not trying
things
to,
roll
but
downhill.
I just thought like if you're organizing something, like if I'm doing something, then I send the email to everybody, and then I'm annoying, and I'll send it again like a week later, and then I'm annoying, and I'll send it again a week later.
Well, you know, it's a...
Ryder ITB with another great tweet. Showing up to work not invited to the work pizza party is like being in elementary school and everyone at lunch has McDonald's except
you. Because I can't say it enough. There is a tangible feeling when there's a pizza party.
Oh,
even if you don't eat pizza, it's in the air.
Okay, well, now I know.
And I could feel it. If I could paint the picture, like at one point I went to go get coffee, and there's Ethan and JoJo and EJ and Everly and Kevin standing around.
Yep.
And you could just feel this camaraderie and this fellowship that only comes from a pizza party.
I wasn't at the pizza party. I wasn't here.
Is that true?
Yes, I wasn't here. I didn't get here till 1 o'clock.
May I? When I walked in this building around 12:15, I took the long way because sometimes I had to go to the bathroom and then I just went around the long way and I noticed
past
there was
the performance theater.
Yeah, there was booming music coming out of the performance theater.
Did they have the blinds shut?
No. The door was open and there was booming music and I looked over and I saw Wu-Tang Jeep. Just like shoveling pizza, just looking as happy as the day, you know, just like, hey, or I didn't even notice what he was eating at the time.
Let's try to keep our coworker safe.
Protect your neck, fool.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, these are innocents.
Okay,
all they did was eat pizza at a pizza party they were invited to.
Well, you
that's their only crime. They were invited to a pizza party and they ate pizza. Okay, what are you gonna do if you're invited to a pizza party?
I'm gonna eat pizza.
Exactly. Just not everybody, you know, is lucky enough to get the invite.
So I heard the loud music, and I saw like one of those welcome guest digital slides.
Welcome
that
to
was
the pizza
up there,
party.
Like, welcome to the pizza party. Guy with a top button open, like, hey, I'm.
Oh, there was a guy.
It was his slide of a dude with his shirt open a little bit.
What was the slide?
Some guest speaker or something. I don't know. I didn't stop. I saw Wu-Tang Jeep housing pizza, and I thought I don't need to be a part of that. And so I went to my office, and then when I got up later to put something in the fridge, I saw 15 pizza boxes stacked to the ceiling.
Dude, they're almost, like, how much space is between the ceiling and the top box?
Not much, but there was pizza on the table when I got here.
Okay.
I didn't know that you didn't eat, or I would have brought you some.
It's
not a matter of not eating. It's a matter of a pizza party spells community.
I didn't know that you weren't acknowledged. I honestly, until you started the show today, didn't know you weren't on that email.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to that part. So it is my fault.
I should have noticed that you weren't on the email, and then
I should have reached out to you personally and been like, hey, I see that Felicia left you off this email, and John Brennan did not follow up, and it is my responsibility.
Brennan even called you into his office today.
The thing is I'm not letting Felicia skirt responsibility onto everybody else.
Skirt.
The pizza email, people are working. This was you had to be responsive and looking at your email to be able to then in turn invite your people on a moment's notice. You know what I'm saying? Like
How about a work-life balance?
Yeah, John Brennan, he's you know, he's shaking and moving. I don't know what he does, but he's doing
either.
A lot of things.
He does some
and
things.
He's working. So, I mean, he can't be invite everybody to the pizza party. But I could tell you know, some people put together an email.
And I mean, not for nothing, but the midday show, they had pizza.
Well, that does get a little tricky because the host of that show also happens to be a department head. So they were in the perfect sweet spot.
Hey, Joe, can I be a department head? We're the DGL JS department.
Drew's.
Because I want to start being included on these department head emails, and I feel like we have our own department here, and I would like to be no offense, John.
It's best.
I'd like to be the head of this department.
Please.
Okay. Done.
Can we get a new,
I'm going to send out an all-staff email. Just please include Drew Garabo on all of department heads' emails from now on, as he is the head of the Drew Garabo Live with John Sending department.
Perfect.
Thank you. Is there a way to make it automatically come to me on department head emails via our Outlook program?
Yeah, I'll let Mike Sarnak know to add you to the department head.
Perfect. That will endear us to engineering even group. More than we already are. They love us.
All right. Well, whenever you're ready to talk about what's actually going on between you and I, JoJo, I'll be here for you.
Okay. Thanks for having me. I'm really sorry about the pizza.
No, I'm sorry for whatever John did to upset you.
I will make sure that it never happens again.
The thing is that I can't even.
Oh, I hear my kid. I got to go.
Dude, I did something.
Yeah, I know. I thought you were being like a little sensitive earlier in the week.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say it. And I don't even want to say it because I don't want to put it out in the universe because I don't think it's possible. Have I been rude to Everly?
Define rude.
I don't know. What have I been? Well, because the first thing, she would have had to have witnessed it and or have been told by Everly.
Right.
What could I have done?
You did nothing. You did nothing.
Every time she's in there, I feel like I'm a very hospitable host.
Kids are sensitive. You're right.
What did I say?
I didn't say anything. What did I say?
Well, the thing
kids
is,
are just sensitive.
Yeah, I know. About what? Just what kind of acts did I commit that a child could be sensitive to? Give me one.
Kids are weird, man.
Give me one.
So
you can't. You can't give me one. That's why I don't think that's what it is. I'm just. Like, we don't work on interpersonal things together. All JoJo and I do is share pleasantries and talk, and that's it. So the only other thing that it could be is something pertaining to her child.
Can I tell you something very funny, somewhat related?
Oh, God.
We didn't get any notification that pizza was here. I have now gotten my fourth notification that our guest is here and waiting on the couches for us. Seems right.
Well, at least things are functioning the way that they should.
We know what we need to know. Everything is on a need-to-know basis, and this is what we need to know.
I didn't do anything to
you
any
didn't.
Children
No,
around
you
here.
Did not. No, you did not. It's interesting because if Mixmaster Mike does call, it'll be the second Beastie Boy that I will ever get to speak with. I spoke with Adam Yauch before he passed. And really, Mike is responsible for creating a new sound for the Beastie Boys. Not that they had gotten stale, but their albums before he came along, Check Your Head and Ill Communication, were a mixture of like funk, rap, punk, some alternative stuff, some rock. And then he just came along and because of the sound that he provided, the turntable-ism that he provided, just they became a new group. Like the sound of Hello Nasty, the first album that he's on, is just so much different. And it all got started, and hopefully we'll hear from his words. It all got started because he randomly ran into Adam Yauch, and Adam Yauch gave him his number and said, like, here's my number. Call me. We'll get together and do stuff. So Mike would call Adam like in the middle of the night and leave messages on his answering machine. And they put one of those messages on Hello Nasty, and it's a commercial, and it's of Mike saying, "Yo, I got some new scratches. I wanted to play for you." And they liked the guy so much that they met privately, and they were like, "You know, do we want this guy to be a part of what we do?" And the Beastie Boys are very, very.
Like, Sacramento.
He says, "I got some new ish right here.
Maybe on some tracks. I got some shit right here."
Ah, okay. Mm.
My turntable to a Wawa head. It's called the Tweet Scratch.
Cause nobody can do it like Mixmaster can. Come on!
And if you watch the video, he scratches the beat for that on one record.
And the reason we might be talking to him is because he is performing / DJing at the Martinis for Moffitt event this weekend, correct?
Yeah, what a huge get for them. TL Jenkins, DJ Craze, and Mixmaster Mike. Tickets are sold out, but you can still donate. All the proceeds they raise go to a young adult center for kids with chemotherapy. It's the AYA Lounge, and it supports teen and young adult cancer patients, which is a great cause.
I know that they probably haven't chatted.
Hold on one second. Hi, is this Mike?
Yes.
Mike, Drew Garabo, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. I wish I could say we're like a professional radio show with like a phone screener and all that, but it's just like, boop, all of a sudden you're live on the radio. So no time to prepare you or anything. It's just you talking to me with my partner, John Senning, over there. I appreciate the time very much, my man.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, let's do it. I'm excited.
Dude, I'm excited too. I was just saying right before we had you on, I've been a Beasties fan since they opened for Madonna on the Like a Virgin tour, and to grow up and to watch their evolution from, you know, License to Ill to Paul's Boutique, Check Your Head, Ill Communication, I grew along with them. And then their two albums before you came along were phenomenal. Check Your Head, Ill Communication, these beautiful hodgepodges of funk, rap, rock, punk rock, etc. You came along and delivered a level of sonic brilliance that I don't think that they would have had without you. Can you kind of spend a couple of minutes talking about when they entered your orbit and how that felt for you as an already known turntable technician and name to all of a sudden be embraced by one of the most iconic musical acts on the planet ever?
Yeah, I mean, you know, their music, of course, you know, they're timepieces of evolution, right? And as a solo artist, that's what I've been I've been doing that as well. So it's kind of like we met at the apex, I guess, in some kind of divine reason of understanding this. It's like I hooked up with like my childhood heroes. I grew up as a Beastie fan, you know, being in high school. So I always pictured myself being in that band, and I always felt that I was the missing element to that crew. But I just waited patiently for my time, and I left these messages on Adam Yauch's answer machine before I linked up with these guys. I left like five different scratch messages on his answer machine, knowing that, okay, yeah, he's gonna call me back. You know, the confidence, you know, I exude confidence, you know what I mean? And perseverance.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how to take no for an answer. I felt like I belonged in this band, and my power of intention, I had to transmit that, and they called me back, and then, and the rest is history. I recorded with them for like a 2-week period in New York to record Hello Nasty. And, after that whole session, they all sat me down and asked me to become their DJ and their sonic their sonic decomposer.
And what a feeling that had to be for you, because they're notoriously private. I mean, these are dudes who don't let everyone in. They didn't do collaborations for the longest time, except for the random Biz versus the Nuge and Q-Tip on Get It Together, and then later Nas. But like, these are dudes who did not exactly welcome everyone into Beastie Boys' circle. So for you to resonate with them, there is a certain amount of manifestation there. There is a certain amount of the universe putting you in their lap and putting them into your world so that the two of you could help that band evolve and become even better than they already were. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. You know, and for me, it wasn't all about a collaboration. You know what I mean? I want to be, you know what I mean? I want to be the power forward or the shooting guard. You know what I mean? I'm going to be put a franchise tag on me. You know what I mean? I'm going to take us to the championship.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah.
And, you know, through God's glory, I was able to bring a whole nother dynamic to their sound. You know, we all know the catalog by heart. And, it was almost like I was grooming myself for this position. And again, through the glory of God, he put me in that position, and it was like it just snapped right in, you know.
Yeah.
There was no forcing anything. It was kind of like we were meant to be together.
Oh,
it was
hell yeah.
the two Mikes and the two Adams.
Oh, yeah, you balance things out. I've never even thought of that before. We had an imbalance before of two atoms and a mic. You made things right with them, for crying out loud.
There was one more mic that was missing.
The missing mic. We were speaking with Mixmaster Mike. He's part of the entertainment this Saturday night for Martinis for Moffitt. It is sold out, but if you go to Moffitt Cancer Center's page on Facebook, et cetera, you can make a donation. And your donation will directly fund Moffitt Cancer Center's AYA Lounge that supports teen and young adult cancer patients. And, Mike, this is a special night for me, not just as a lifelong Beasties fan and a fan of yours, but Moffitt actually saved my life a couple of years ago. I had a bout with testicular cancer, so I try to make this event. I made it last year, and it's just everything coming together like there is kind of, to be honest with you, it's kind of earth-shattering in a good way. It blows my mind that I get to speak with you about it today and talk about this wonderful event and get to see you on Saturday night. Thank you for doing this event. You're taking this event to the next level, man, with your entertainment.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. But for me, you know, I mean the main ingredient to my success is through my charity work. You know, I'm involved in five different charities: Vogel Alcove Homeless Center in Dallas, Texas; Operation Smile; the Nevada Partnership Homeless Youth Society here in Las Vegas; and also I work with Michael J. Fox every year on the annual Foundation for Parkinson's Research. And I have a new charity, and it's Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa. So, you know.
Oh, man, what a great one to add to the roster for sure. I was, Mike, I was familiar with you when you were with the Invisible Scratch Pickles and winning those DMC awards back in the day. That movement of turntablism back in the 90s with Qbert, who ended up, I believe, on Dr. Octagon's album with Dan the Automator. What an interesting time for music that was. It had to feel so cool for you to be part of a crew. You're just having a blast doing what you're doing with your friends, and then all of a sudden the world starts to embrace turntablism. Can you talk about what that felt like?
I mean, for us, you know, for me, I've never did it for like fame. I always wanted to be like, okay, when I wake up in the morning, I'm gonna power up those turntables and I'm going to play this thing like a musical instrument like nobody ever has in the world. And that's all I wanted to do, you know, is turn this thing into a musical instrument and create our own genre of music, you know, through the turntables. And now I look fast forward two, three decades later, we have spawned out a whole generation of DJs that, you know, it looks like they all had their DNA. They have my DNA in them now, so it's amazing. Amazing feelings, you know?
Yeah, it's got to be. And to see it just explode like it did back then and still be relevant today is crazy. How did you get into that? Like when you, I'm sure your parents were into all kinds of different kind of music. What made you finally, you know, put vinyl on a turntable and decide, I'm going to make some cool sounds out of this?
Yeah, well, I grew up around a huge library of records. My uncle had a huge record collection. So I was just curious. I was listening to Jimi Hendrix. I was listening to Van Halen. I was listening to Miles Davis, Thelonious Monk. I was listening to all kinds of music growing up. And I'm like, I want to be just like these guys. But look, I don't know how to play. I don't know how to play the clarinet. I don't know how to play the guitar. I don't know how to play the drums. I want to be like Bonham, but I don't know how to play the drums. So I figured, you know, why not use the turntable as my instrument? And if I have these sounds embedded into the vinyl, I can, you know, hopefully be, you know what I mean, and you know, like an export of those guys, Miles Davis, Hendrix, you know. And that's what I'm really ultimately trying to achieve is playing with the same amount of ferocity and passion with those guys. So, that's what it was about. It's all about inspiration, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Inspiration and going, okay, yeah, this is what I want to be. And ultimately, I found my, you know, everybody has a superpower, right? I just tapped into it.
Yeah.
100 times, you know, the 10,000 hour rule, I exceeded that.
Like BC said, dude, I give thanks for inspiration. It guides my mind along the way, you know?
Boom. Yeah, Yacht preached that in his lyrics, you know, and rest in peace to my man, Adam. He's with me every day. You know, and he sees the progress. And I couldn't imagine if he was still alive and what we'd be doing today. We'd probably have three or four new albums.
yeah,
you know, along with the catalog. But we embrace all the music and what we've achieved, and it's just, you know, life goes on, but we have our guardian angels to protect us.
Do we ever? And we're speaking with Mixmaster Mike, and
yes,
we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Mr. Yauch. I found out I was going to interview a Beastie Boy for the first time in my life right about the time that Awesome I shot that concert video was coming on DVD. I was working for a radio station in Orlando. They're like, all right, tomorrow you're going to get to interview a Beastie Boy. I'm like, great, which one? They said, we don't know. We'll tell you in the morning. So they're like, here. So the next morning they send me Adam Yauch's publicist number. I call and they're like, great, we're going to connect you. And it's like 7-8 in the morning. Ring, 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 rings like 20 times, and he picks up, and it's that just that trademark growl, you know, Yauch, like, hello. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to let this guy know immediately. I'm not like your typical radio, like, so fight for your right to party. Boy, what a jam that was, right, Yauch? So, I had to hit him with that Boomin' Granny, with, like, Nettie's Girl, with Yauch versus Bazooty, like, all that. And he's like, and he stopped me 5 minutes in. He goes, yo, I can tell right you're a fan, and I don't want to like make this a bad interview. Can you just hold on while I brew myself a pot of coffee? And I'm like, yeah, of course. So literally sat there with dead air for 5 minutes while he goes and brews coffee. He gets back, and then he gave me like the best 20-minute interview before this moment that I had ever done before. And just to be able to speak with him then, and to be able to express to him what Beastie Boys meant to me growing up, what they mean to me now as a man in his 50s, what they've always meant, to have a favorite band of guys who went from parodies of themselves, frat rock, to like evolved human beings who preach feminism and Buddhism and all the right things in this world. You know, to be able to have that was so incredible. It had to be for you that times a million to know Yauch, to love Yauch, to call him a brother, right?
Actually, well, he's my mentor, and I'm a live, living extension of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
and everything that he believed in and spoke about is like it spilled over to me, and I feel like it's my duty to uphold the law of giving and just the law of each one teach one, and helping others. Using the platform to make a difference. Yeah. And that's what it's all about.
That's beautiful, man. That he I'm sure he would be so freaking proud of that. And I flew up to King's Theater in Brooklyn to see Mike and Adam do the book show with Spike. And to feel that emotion in that room as they read from the book about losing their brother and what it was like, it was like no emotion I'd ever experienced in my life to see these dudes like pouring their hearts out. It was really intense. And for you to be there and have a front row seat to all of that, I'm sure ripped the heart right out of your chest too.
You know, it was, you knew somebody that special in the circle, you know, you kind of gotta find your way through it, you know, emotionally.
Yeah.
And luckily through my, you know, I'm a devoted Christian. So, I mean, through the grace of God, he's guided me through that. And, everything's for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was God's plan, and it was his time to go be with his maker. But you know, I got to tell you, his spirit really, really radiates right now with me every single day I wake up and every time I touch the turntable. I'm like, you know what? I think Yauch would like this.
Man, that's beautiful, dude. That is so beautiful. And I know he'd love what you're doing this weekend, having passed from salivary gland cancer himself. You're going to be touching so many lives. So many physicians will be there. Last year, I ran into like this oncologist that I had an appointment with who gave me like really good news. It's a beautiful night of joy and uplifting, and we're going to get to experience your music. Let me ask you a question, my man. One of my buddies is opening up for you, TL Jenkins. He does this drum thing and he raps and all that. Would you be insulted, or would you consider it an honor if we were to perhaps do a version of Intergalactic and dedicate it to you and Mike and Adam?
Absolutely.
All right. Just wanted to get the green light from you before we actually.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Because we'd love to do that to pay homage to the king, if you will, to get the people ready for the type of ass-shaking grooves that you're going to be providing this Saturday night at the Seminole Hard Rock Casino, my good man.
I look forward to it.
Mike, you are the man. I appreciate the time so much, dude. I appreciate you. I'm really looking forward to meeting you and everything you've done through the years. It's you're royalty, dude. You really are. From opening for Metallica, which, by the way, I can't let this go without mentioning, back in the 80s, there is no way in the hell anybody would have thought we're going to have a DJ open up for Metallica. It would have been like Megadeth. It would have been Crocus. It would have been something. What did that feel like for you to take the stage as a solo artist before Lars, James, Kirk, and that Trujillo character take the stage as Metallica, dude?
Amazing. You know, I have this huge picture of us four backstage, and then a picture of me live at AT&T Stadium with 100,000 people, and I look at it every day when I'm in my game room, and I'm like, wow. That you're not going to see that again. You know what? And it's just little old me with the two turntables, and it's just like, you know what I mean? It's like again. I guess it's through my through God's devotion. He put me there in that position, and you know what I mean? I'm just you know what I mean? Again, I'm just hardcore, and I stand with what I as a musician. I stand for a lot, and you know what I mean? I'm a galvanizer. And I like to galvanize the troops. And that's what I feel like my role is in this whole scheme here, is I'm a galvanizer.
Hell yeah, you are. You are indeed that and so much more. You're a legend. Follow him on Instagram, all one word, Mixmaster Mike. I appreciate you, dude. I hope I get to shake your hand and give you a pound on Saturday night.
Yeah. Can't wait to meet you, bro.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to meet you, too. This is very meaningful. And thank you so much for making time. And thank you so much for giving your time to a great charity like Moffitt Cancer Center and Martinis for Moffitt. You're really making a difference in the lives of many, as you have with your music through the years, my dude.
Oh, man, God bless. I appreciate you.
Yeah, God bless you, man. I'll see you on Saturday. All right, Mike?
Okay, brother.